Vinny is a real powerhouse freedom fighter in New Zealand, and I know Billy is along the same channel. Billy was a leader of a political party, and excuse me, I can't remember the name of the party that you represented in the last election, Billy, but I know you're head and heels involved, and you guys have got some crazy court things going on in Australia. So I'm going to start with Vinny. Kind of maybe you want to give me your pet peeve of the day and bring me up to date with what's going on in New Zealand. The levels of insanity here are amping up crazy. What's going on in New Zealand these days, Vinny? Thanks for coming back in.
Are you talking about the level of insanity that's in New Zealand at the moment, as we've just been through an election, and I think it was approximately 2-3% of the population voted for freedom of some description, which is, I think, maybe 1-2% higher than the last election that we went to, where people voted for freedom. So that was a reasonably encouraging sign to one degree. However, what people don't recognize, generally speaking, is, and this is my pet peeve, is that the elections don't matter as much as the 1,000 days of activism and work and community organization that you can engage in between elections. This is a short thing just to get your platform, get your message out there, and try to do what you can right for the good of humanity, whichever that idea happens to be closest to your heart. But what's problematic about this is people think that all you have to do is check a box and suddenly your freedom will come without sacrifice or measures beyond your scale of reckoning. And unfortunately... measures beyond your scale of reckoning is precisely what's required of all of us if we are to, shall we say, resist successfully the wiles of scumbaggery and international slavery that beset us.
Absolutely. It seems to be growing in exponentially by the day. Billy, welcome back to the show. Always good to have you in, sir. And what would you like to talk about on the top of your list of things that are picking your butt right now?
Well, I guess, you know, where do you start? Because I'm watching the Israel-Gaza situation very, very closely. It's been, obviously, October the 7th will be a date of infamy, but seeing the Israeli families getting murdered and abducted by the Hamas terrorist organization was pretty tough to watch. But at the same time, watching the Israeli Defense Force destroy innocent families and killing kids at the numbers that they are is equally as disturbing. And now, of course, we're heading up to 3,000 babies and children killed in Gaza, 7,000, almost 8,000 in total. And you know what people are failing to see, Barry, people are failing to see that the same people behind the loss of rights and freedoms for all of us and people around the world, the same people behind the COVID scam, the same people behind the climate change scam and the central bank digital currencies and the inbound fourth industrial revolution and the great reset of Uncle Klaus Schwab, people are not seeing that the same people, the same puppet master behind all of that is exactly the same control group on behalf of the puppet master that is forcing this localized, soon to be regional conflict in the Middle East, and that the actors and players involved in this have if you've been paying attention for the last few years, the actors and players that are driving this terrible tragedy have been communicating that they are going to invade Iran for a long, long time. It's always been, as General Wesley Clark said in 2003, that it was part of the US military ambition to remove 7 Muslim regimes. And Iran, of course, is a big, big problem for the United States. And so I've been horrified by the fact that Christians around the world have blindly called for the flattening of Gaza, And you know what, Barry? I've read my Bible many, 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 many times. I read it every day. And I can tell you the God of the Bible, the Jesus that I serve, is not behind any of the death and mayhem that's either in Israel or in Gaza. And Christians need to really wake up to this, because, you know, what we're seeing here is a massive manipulation for which, you know, we can go into a regional conflict. If that happens, then essentially China and Russia are going to have to make a decision about who they're going to side with. Saudi Arabia has already said they're on the side of the PLA, the Palestinian Authority, and we've got Russia with a strategic and tactical and economic alliance with Iran and Syria. You've got China with the same with Iran, and so the whole idea behind this is to create so much pain and suffering in the world that the world would relish the opportunity to surrender our nationalism and our sovereignty as a nation and individuals. We will surrender that in favor of having peace and security under a world government. And that's what this is about. And if people cannot work this out, you know, that there's so much wrong with the story in Israel and in Gaza, there's so much wrong with it. It's not even funny. Both sides of the fence line are playing a game. The leaders, the operators behind the scenes on both sides of the fence seem to be working in lockstep towards a common goal. Now, if you look at how, you know, 1,000 of the Al-Qasr brigade of Hamas managed to break into Israel and enter in the most fortified, heavily guarded border in the world without being detected. If you can just look at that from a military point of view, it doesn't make sense. And I was listening to an incredible Israeli independent journalist yesterday by the name of Efrat Fenigson, and she's done a brilliant breakdown of it. She's a former military intelligence soldier in the IDF. She was stationed in the Gaza Strip 25 years ago. And she doesn't believe for a second that it's even possible for a pig to cross the Gaza Strip without being detected, let alone 1,000 Hamas terrorists. So my thing is at the moment is to call everyone's attention to the bigger picture and to look for the macro signs of where this is heading, because, you know, this is yet another manipulation and we need to be aware of it. We shouldn't let identity politics separate us and segregate us, because what's happening is while people are saying, you know, they support Palestine, and while people are saying they're all pro-Israel, you've actually got men and women of incredible goodwill from both sides, both Jewish, Israeli and Palestinians, arm in arm together saying this needs to stop. It needs to stop. Yep. It's not what the people want. This is a manipulation. It needs to stop. So I've been focusing on that as well as my documentary, River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic investigative documentary, which is, of course, about the COVID tyranny and scam that New Zealand has lived through for over 3.5 years. That's now available online to view for a small download fee. If people go to www.riveroflies.co.nz, you can go and see it and download and watch it to your heart's content, because the story of New Zealand is the story of the lockstep program that we've been living in for over 3.5 years. What has happened here and the way that we put it together is a story that of the world. So even if you're in Canada or the US, wherever you may be, it's going to be something fantastic for you to have a look at. This is episode 1 of 3, and it'll give you some fantastic information resources that you can use to help educate and wake people up gently. And that website for the documentary is www.riveroflies.co.nz. Thanks, Barry. It's my intro. Hope you're doing well.
I'm going to recommend everybody go and listen to that. Vinny, what do you think about what's going on in the Mideast right now? What's your take on it?
Well, it's been going on for thousands of years, and what people may not recognize is that Israeli Mossad is an intelligence agency All right. People don't recognize this. What do intelligence agencies do? They lie, confuse the enemy, and do surreptitious and scumbaggery things, including creating their own opposition, who will attack them at any point when they're in a really bad position to give them perfect justification to implement all the measures that they've been wanting to implement all along. And people might recognize this pattern after 9/11. Suddenly we had the Patriot Act. How did you guys write 1,500 pages of legislation within a few minutes of 9/11 of the towers coming down? We just rushed it, you know. No, you didn't. You had it all prepared, and then you orchestrated the attack so that you could then have the shocked public accept these new measures. And Mossad and Hamas are no different than the CIA and the Mujahideen of the 1980s being trained, financed, armed in order to attack their enemy. The enemy in this case being the Israeli public, who there have been record protests in recent memory against the Israeli government and the machinations that it has been pulling, not only on the own Israeli citizens, but of course on the Palestinians. And this is something that people are very religious about, and they should be political about it, okay? Don't support Israel just because they're Jewish and things of that nature. Support Israel because you actually know that they didn't create the terrorist organization that they're claiming as a threat, that they don't lie all the time on the international media, that they don't violate human rights on a massive scale, that they don't get routinely drummed on by all the member states of the United Nations as being basically, for all intents and purposes, a government that is no more than a terrorist organization. Okay, now, if all those things weren't the case, then I would completely understand all the Christians and things of that nature having Israeli flags on their Facebook profiles and what have you. But at the moment, all that does is piss me off, principally because these people have no concept of geopolitics or intelligence agencies, which is the bare minimum that they would need to be aware of to even have an inkling about what this situation truly represents.
So what we're talking about basically is a false flag in kind of the same kind of words, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, one can only hope.
Well, you know, you look at how effective false flags have been in the past, Vinny, if you look at the Patriot false flags, and I'm not going to preach to the choir, but you know and I know they're very effective at achieving their goals. So what are we actually seeing over there right now? Is this all smoke and mirrors? Are we not seeing what's behind the curtain because they're hiding it so well from us? A lot of questions. What do you think, Billy?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, look, if we look at Pearl Harbor, if we look at the Gulf of Tonkin event, which entered the U.S. into war with North Vietnam, if we look at...
The battleship Maine, blah, blah, blah. All the false flags they pulled off.
There's so many of them. We've got, you've got the Vietnam War. You've got 9/11 itself. When you look at it closely, it's how did Building 7 come down? They've never been able to answer that. How does two gigantic buildings of that stature, the World Trade Centers, how did they get melted? Apparently, we're meant to believe that the steel was melted by fuel-based fires, which had never happened before. And you know, there's so much wrong with it. And we go on and on and on. And there's so many sort of red flags throughout the last. Forever really. I mean, it seems like everything's of massive significance, which involves human death. Starts with a false flag incident like this, and I believe that's exactly what it is. This Israeli journalist, Efrat Fenningson, she does an incredible breakdown on it. She says there is no way 1,000 Hamas terrorists can cross that border That's one thing. She said the second thing that's hard to swallow is that the IDF Rapid Reaction Force didn't deploy for hours and hours. Now, I don't know about you, but typically a Rapid Reaction Force in the military, they're there within minutes to any response.
Yeah.
They are there with not 6 to 12 hours later. You know, how did she said the failure of that alone should cause, massive skepticism. There's another thing, you know, Egypt warned Israel that there was an imminent signal of attack heading towards Israel, and that they needed to be on high alert. It was something they didn't know when it was going to happen, but something was certainly coming, and it can't be ignored. And they did. Mm. Netanyahu completely ignored it. So I think this is, I really do think that this is, it's got a few different key touch points. One is Netanyahu, of course, a month earlier had presented the new look Israel, and it had nothing to do with, no mention of Palestinians in it. That's a big problem. The next thing is he's a far-right political party, and his popularity, even within the right bloc, had dropped to an all-time low. You've got this sort of action like this going on. I believe he will never recover from this. What has happened here under his watch, he will never be able to recover from. This is his last show, if you like. But I think beyond that, I think if people think this is just about moving Palestinians out of Gaza, they've got to think again, because there's deeper geopolitical and military goals here. And I think one of the big ones is that the US wants to bomb the heck out of Iran, invade it, and basically subjugate Iran, Syria all at once. They're not going to be able to do that with Jordan, because Jordan is an ally of the US, but already, you know, allies of the US, i.e. Jordan and Turkey, they're saying, and Saudi Arabia even, they've indicated that if there's IDF pushes even further than what they've done now, because they've begun the ground operation into Gaza, they have warned that if they do that, it's going to become a regional conflict. They will get involved in it, and that's going to be ugly. And if it does that, then it will drag everybody into one hell of a horrible and ugly war, I'm afraid.
You know, the only thing that scares me about this is the fact that we now have these things called nuclear bombs. And one nuclear bomb could definitely ruin our day. And the possibility of that happening when you get a conflict going, of course, they say, you know, if we ever do get into a nuclear war, it's going to be a limited nuclear exchange. But, you know, and I know that's crap. When they start throwing them at each other, it's not going to be a good day for the human race. And of everything that goes on right now, that scares me the most, guys, because they have them. And they didn't have them in the past, but now they have the ability to absolutely wreck havoc on society. And I'm scared there might be a homicidal maniac out there that's just capable of pushing that button. Go ahead, Vinny.
Well, my thoughts on it is that we have a significant amount of fear that gets built up whenever these attacks happen, and that is their purpose, to make people abandon their logic, their reason, and their curiosity. Oh, something bad happened, you say? Yes. Well, I'll believe it because you said it, and because you repeated it thousands of times a day across thousands of different media outlets who all happen to be owned and controlled by the same groups who you're friends with. You know, I'm totally on board now, bro. There's no confusion whatsoever. And in so doing, people become so headstrongly, shall we say, motivated behind whatever narrative they're given, whether it be, oh my goodness, there's an international Islamic Muslim terrorist threat. Oh my goodness, there's these far right wingers penetrating the frickin' Capitol Hill. Whatever. As long as there's these big man on the moon headlines, people tend to follow what they're being told and don't tend to question it. Principally because what's happening is you're being deliberately traumatized. Okay? Traumatized people don't think the clearest, and generally try to seek safety by whatever means they can, whether that be safety for their minds or their bodies or their spirit or whatever. And whomever comes out and says there's a big frickin' attack and we're the only thing that stands between you and them, the vast majority of people completely detached from their consciousness by the traumatic instance of it and the repetition of it will generally go with whatever the mainstream narrative is. And this goes as well for so-called people in the freedom community and the truth community, and there's a reason I separate those two, by the way, and of course mainstream Christianity. I remember talking with this one guy, and I don't know if you've seen this before, but when people have a, shall we say, a religious experience for which they detach their consciousness and they're no longer thinking, they're no longer studying, they're no longer following the true words and all of that kind of thing. If they just have this idea that God loves me and therefore everything the media tells me to worship is God talking to me, they have this weird look in their eyes. And I saw that exact same look on this guy I was having a discussion with about Israel. And I also saw that exact same look on the pastor who kicked me and Billy and everybody else out of her church because we were screening The River of Lies, when this church themselves, instead of, you know, admitting that, hey guys, we made you wear masks for no reason, hey guys, we encourage you to take vaccines which sterilize and kill you, you know, these kind of things would be something they could personally take responsibility for and have some form of curiosity about, but because they're completely and utterly traumatized, okay, into doing those things, they've created this psychological blocking mechanism that prevents them from questioning their own thoughts, their own actions, principally because they would feel a massive amount of guilt and grief at the prospect of that I was an idiot and I hurt people in my idiocy. That's too much for people to take because they're not mature. They don't actually truly care about things that really matter, and that is what has happened to mainstream Christianity and the mainstream media and the mainstream public to a large degree, is they've become so traumatized so repeatedly by so many methods that their ability to care about anyone else or the truth whilst they're suffering the effects of this traumatizing campaign is virtually for naught. And it's very, very unfortunate and quite sad, but the fact of the matter is, it's not an excuse.
Yeah, Billy, what do you think?
Oh, I think this is about the global scene. I do. I think there's a huge, gigantic mass formation plan being rolled out across the world to affect all citizens and populations of countries. I believe it's, as Vinny has said, I believe a lot of it is about causing fear so that people can't think straight. Because if you cause the fear, then the brain thinks from the rear part of its brain, of its mind, not the frontal lobe, and that's where all the best decision-making comes from. And so if you can do that, if you can, whether it be, you know, climate change, extinction level events, whether it be COVID, tyranny and fear, it's all going to lead to the same point where people throw up their arms and go, well, you know, whatever it takes, you know, just make me safe. Take my freedoms, have my freedoms, just make me safe. Yep, I'll sign up to the UN. Let's all go under a one world government. But I think it's a total onslaught against humans that we're seeing here. The sooner that we wake up to the fact that, yep, we all have different ideas and cultures and beliefs in that, and the best ones are the ones that say, you have a right to live in peace with your family, undisturbed either by your government, your neighbour, or foreign interests in your country, whether it be by way of conquest or war of a foreign power that wants to come in and take your resources. Every man, woman, and child has the God-given right to live in peace equally without disturbance. And what we are seeing here is really the global effort to coerce people, even if they don't know it, or shall I say herd people into a mindset where we're just so scared and we want our rights, but we want them protected and along with our safety. So if losing some of our rights means we can be safe, then most people are going to do that. And I think what COVID has taught us is how easily that has been achieved to create the fear and then, you know, manipulate the populations in a certain way to respond in a certain way. That's also in my documentary. We talk about that because the Nazi propaganda program was immense and thorough. It was complete, and they perfected it. They had watched the communists. Communism was a big problem in Germany. The Nazi brown shirts were always having on-street battles with German communists, but they also learned the Nazi Party, the Third Reich, had also observed how the communists had done it, and then under Josef Goebbels, of course, they perfected the mind craft involved in being able to turn, you know, ordinary Germans into anti-Semite, you know, absurd, tyrants on the individual level. And not all of them were, by the way. 7 million Germans were killed by Hitler for not going along with the program. 7 million of them. Nobody talks about that, but 7 million thinking people, Christians, academics, scientists. These weren't Jewish people. These were Germans that were murdered by the Third Reich because they wouldn't go along with it. And so by the time Hitler was rolling out his campaign, then you go into the end of the war, they lose the war, all of the scientists and the smart people of the Gestapo under Paperclip were sent to the US, and they took all that know-how with them. And so, you know, the CIA, which came out of the, obviously out of the OSI.
OSS.
And, OSS, yes, exactly, thank you. They had a lot of learnings to and data to grab from these Germans about how they were able to use mass propaganda, and that's where the mass formation program began. And we're living through it today. I mean, look at Hollywood. The best thing we can do for our children is turn the blinking TV off. The absolute best thing we can do, because the kids are being taught a certain... Oh, they're indoctrinated, you know, the indoctrinated. Yep. What are the things that who's always the nation that comes to the rescue and always the good guy? It's always the US. It's always the US. But are they? Are they really? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Now, I've spent a lot of time in the US and lived in the US, and I love visiting the US. I got so many dear American friends. It's not even funny. But the system itself is corrupted. The Bible calls it the lamb-like beast in Revelation 13. And this beast system, this second beast system that works for the first beast system, which is Catholicism, is the papacy. Now, my family are Catholics. I'm not even going to go at Catholics, but I know the system inside out biblically. The first beast is the papal system. The second beast of Revelation 13 is the lamb-like beast. That's the US. And it's going to force the entire world into the system. And so when you look behind the scenes and understand what that means, because the system that they're going to create involves worship, Revelation 13 verses 15, 16, and 17 talks about it, that unless you are in that system and receive a mark on your right hand or your forehead, and no, that's not the COVID injection, no, it's not an RFID chip, and it's a matter of mentality of who you will serve and belong to. But the US is behind everything. Where is the UN headquarters? It's in New York, not Geneva. It's New York. Okay. What else is the US involved in covertly? Well, the better question is, what aren't they involved in covertly? You know, they're probably listening to this show, no doubt. And but America has a very significant role to play, and they along with Mossad, along with the former KGB, they've been working together for a long, long time behind the scenes. And the binding organization between them all, strangely enough, and this goes in line with what I'm saying, is actually the Vatican Intelligence Service, which is second to none. Everyone talks about Mossad and the CIA being the best. It ain't a patch on the Vatican Intelligence Service, not even close. So we're in a mass formation program, but unfortunately a lot of people are going to die, and we better get ready for it. We better get our food sorted. We better get our water sorted. We better get out of the cities, because the cities are going to be the first to go.
Absolutely. And,
you know, we saw what happened with Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. You imagine what will happen when they lock down all of the cities in Canada, in the US. You know, what is that going to look like? What about food? It's going to be a big problem.
I'm going to let Vinny talk here, but just imagine a scenario where tomorrow morning you wake up and all the mainstream media and news stations are telling you about suitcase nukes that have been discovered leaking into the United States of America, and then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, one of those nukes lets go in a city, say, maybe 300,000 people, and absolute shock the public to the core. All of a sudden, you've got a complete lockdown coast to coast. That's how fast, and that's the mechanism. One of the mechanisms they could use. We know they could collapse the dollar. They control the money. Boy, you talk about chaos in society. All they have to do is make the announcement that, guess what, guys, your dollar, you could use it for toilet paper now. You imagine the levels of chaos that would erupt in society. I mean, out of chaos always comes control. And we know they've used that over and over again. I believe they'll use the same thing again. I see a false flag as a real possibility right now. Go ahead, Billy. Vinny?
This is something that's been happening the whole way along, according to many of the people that I've interviewed over the years who've been doing this for like 50, 60 years and things of that nature. I recall Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, God rest his soul, I asked him one time when I was first starting doing this radio show, can we get a system together where corruption won't happen anymore? Like, it's been designed so well and we've figured out all the ins and outs and what have you, that they won't be able to get away with this kind of corruption and things of that nature anymore. And he says, no. It's a perennial problem. And I recall what the problem is, that vigilance has been lacking. Okay? Eternal vigilance is the cost of continuing freedom, ostensibly. Eternal means it doesn't turn off. As soon as you go to the bar to have a drink, to watch the rugby game or something like that, as many New Zealanders did, for all those minutes or hours or something like that, you're not paying attention to tyranny. And goodness knows what they could get away with during that point. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't recognize, is the level of deception across virtually all topics that they may have familiarized themselves with throughout their entire lives. And I recall the work here, if I can, Lloyd Pye, God rest his soul, he wrote a book called Everything You Know Is Wrong. Now, it takes us many, many years to get a sense of what the world is, who we are in general, and usually this goes through a kind of schooling process. So you'll get cult indoctrination, your consciousness will be deactivated, your creativity will be deactivated, and your curiosity deactivated through the course of these cult indoctrination techniques. Get up early, have a central authority figure, have central fluorescent lighting and things of that nature, so it's not too bright, not too dark. Get your authority figures to speak in a dull monotone, make people do repetitive tasks over and over again that don't really have any point to them. And after a decade of going through this in the schooling system, whoever you were, whatever great bright potential you had, has been diminished somewhat, at the very least, if not eradicated entirely. And then you go to work, which has exactly the same cult indoctrination techniques. And if you don't go to work, you go to university, which has exactly the same cult indoctrination techniques. So from birth, ostensibly, to early adulthood, people are enthralled in highly effective, highly organized cults. This is how we get the term culture. And when people come out of cults, and people do get out of cults, their family will recognize that they're not there anymore. As in, the person who went there isn't the person who comes out again, and that person ain't ever coming back. And that's what a lot of people maybe have to recognize about themselves. Yes, you've been traumatized. Yes, you've been indoctrinated. Yes, that person who you were ain't ever coming back. And now you have to start from scratch as though you're 5 years old going to school for the very first time and being told what to think. But now you are the one that has to teach yourself. You are the one who has to go out there and learn. You are the one that has to do 10,000 hours minimum of your own independent research across hundreds of different topics before you even have the slightest clue, the slightest starting pad of knowing who you are and knowing what you're doing. So this is something that most people who've woken up since COVID have not done. And so the actions that they're taking to get themselves out of slavery and to get themselves out of being mind controlled are going in the right direction, but they're nowhere near yet capable of understanding who they are or the threat that they're facing. So therefore, any measures they take against them will generally prove to be ineffective, as we noticed in the election campaign here in New Zealand, as I'm sure all the people who, what was that, January 10th, was it, that marched up on Washington, D.C.? When we're trying to act and we're acting without thinking and we are, for lack of a better word, and I include myself in this, idiots who've been cult indoctrinated our entire lives, the chances are very, very good that whatever actions we do take will just make things worse because we haven't really thought about it that much.
Learning to unlearn is a very difficult thing. Billy, I want you to talk about River of Lies for a couple minutes. Give people an idea, because I've gotten some questions in chat and stuff about it. What is the video and what is the documentary all about?
Yeah, just sure.
I've got people looking at it.
Yeah, thank you. So immediately, it is about the New Zealand government's COVID-19 narrative, how they told us that the infection fatality rate of COVID was very, very low, incredibly low, and equal to the seasonal flu. Yet they were telling us it was the most deadliest disease since the Spanish flu. So I look at all of those issues that the government said that we could trust them on. I look at infection fatality rate. I look at face masks. I look at the problems with the PCR test. I look at the problems with social distancing. I look at the problems with the elimination strategy, the lockdown strategy, and I have the world's leading voices on it. I've got people ranging from, Dr. Mike Yeadon from Pfizer speaking. I've got Bob Malone. I've got, all sorts of just incredible experts, statisticians, scientists. But I've got reports from the WHO, the Centers for Disease and Prevention. I've got all of these reports I've got that speak to these topics. And basically what I do is I give people the other side of the coin of all the information that's been hidden from us. You know, they said it's the deadliest disease, yet all of the evidence says it's not. They say face masks will protect you. All the evidence says they never do. They said the PCR test was reliable, yet it's not reliable. And even Professor Carrie Mullis, the inventor of it, said that. They said social distancing would protect people, yet it was arbitrary and made up. They said elimination strategy would be possible, which is to completely suppress the COVID so that we have zero representation of it in New Zealand. We were the only country to attempt that. And yet they said it was possible and that lockdowns would provide the mechanism of being able to starve the virus. Well, the truth is none of that worked, none of it. And they used such harsh measures to try and deal with this virus that they've never isolated, by the way. People say they've isolated it. They've never isolated the primary virus. And in fact, I'll say this right here and now. I don't even believe there is a virus. I believe the pandemic was created for the vaccine and for the laws that it created, just like the war against terror. But so episode one is about all of that. And you see these reports, WHO, Imperial College, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, all of those reports that you've got to dig to get. I've got them in this episode one. And like I said earlier, this is a story that you can cut and paste because this is a lockstep operation that all the governments rolled out at the same time in lockstep. And so if you can look at this information, it will explain what happened in Canada, for example. Trudeau followed the exact trajectory as what Jacinda Ardern did here. What unifies those two? Well, they're both World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders. And so, and it goes way beyond that, by the way. And so episode one, the documentary, is all about that. And it's going to help people really to see through the matrix. Episode two is about vaccines. We're working on that at the moment. And then episode three is about the murky and dark world of who stands to benefit and where is this going. And so people will love it. I promise you, we've been getting incredible reviews. If you go to the website, riveroflies.co.nz, you will see some of the reviews we've got. We've only just gone online. We've only been online a week. And we've done half a dozen test public screenings in New Zealand, and people love it, Barry. So thank you for your support. Hopefully you'll go and check it out.
Well, I'm going to make it a point to try and spread it far and wide because people really need this information.
They do.
Something I just came, I'll tell you something. Well, of course, the governments don't benefit from the vaccination programs, but prior to the rollout of COVID-19 in Canada, Justin Trudeau, and I looked into this, his approximate net worth in 2019 was in the neighborhood of $17 million. His net worth this last year, I think it was September was the cutoff date, is now $378 million.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he's on a salary. Well, where did all that money come from, folks? But this has got people in Canada scratching their heads, and so it should. Of course, we know that he was complicit with what was going on with the vaccination programs. We know that he was getting a kickback from every vaccination administrated Canada, hence the big push by him, harder than ever before, was something pushed on the Canadian public. That's just, we're finding out now the levels of vaccine regretness. I'm not kidding. I'll tell you guys, I had one person actually get mad at me because prior to him going and getting the shots, I told him, Jeff, please, this is mRNA technology. It's never been used on humans. And when they tested in labs, it's been around for many years. I believe this was planned many, many years before this was rolled out on the public. And these vaccines were the weapon of choice because we see what it's doing now to people around the world. They can tell us it's safe and effective till they're blue in the face. But now the data that we see coming in around the world is just absolutely damning. So, I mean, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, and that's why I think right now, I'll add this thought that I think a false flag would be right up their alley right now, because when governments start losing control of the public, that's what they do. They unleash something that will bring the public back in line. Just my thoughts, guys. Go ahead, Vinny.
I just got off an interview with Lark and Rose, who made the movie Jones Plantation at jonesplantationfilm.com. And in it, it's ostensibly a, I wouldn't call it an allegory, that's what he calls it, I call it a parallelory, all right? So it simply shows you exactly how your slavery works, how it's actually set up, but it's using this parallel from an old slave colony down in Mississippi. And this concept that we have here is personified in the film because some people get wind that although this guy is telling them that they're free, telling them that they've got elections and representatives and that they can speak and so on and so forth, they still don't believe that this is real. And they're getting angry about it. So what do the slave masters do? They create crises and tragedy and murder and killing people to distract them from what's really going on. And meanwhile, they're pulling the strings, they're having fun, and people are getting all upset at a new threat that's been manufactured for them that distracts them right. from the real threat that has had its right. claws around their throat their entire life.
Hmm. Billy, what do you think? I'm putting it on you guys because, you know, I get you on. I love hearing you guys talk. I talk all the time, so I'm going to put it on you first. Billy, what do you think? Yeah. I do. I love having you guys on. You're real people, and I love that. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I think freedom is a funny thing in our generation today. What we think is freedom, and I think the starting point for how people think about freedom is: have I got the right to go to Walmart today? Yep. Have I got the right to go to Netflix today? Yep. Have I got the right to go to and get McDonald's? Yep. Well, that's freedom. I've got all that freedom. I can do that. But as we've learned in the last 3.5 years, it's much deeper than that, isn't it? It's bodily sovereignty. It's thought sovereignty. It's having the right to express yourself and your thoughts. It's the right to be able to voice those thoughts safely in the public square. And it's about not having plans and programs born in foreign halls of power get backdoor entrance into your country through corrupt politicians. It's about being free of that. It's way more than just those convenience items that they're available to us at the end of our reach. It's way deeper than that. It's about having those freedoms to live with your family undisturbed and without overreach. Now, the history of my family and people close to me is of people that went to World Wars One and Two, Vietnam, and they paid, you know, some of them paid the ultimate sacrifice, gave their lives. But why did they do that? They gave their lives to stop, you know, Imperial Japan invading the North Island of New Zealand. They did it to prevent the expansion of the Nazi Third Reich into New Zealand. That's why they did it. So that why? That New Zealanders could live freely, that we could continue to live in peace that we thought we had, and to enjoy the freedom we thought we had. That's why they did that. But the problem is now, generations later in New Zealand, we have people that don't understand the value of that sacrifice, because they've never had to sacrifice anything themselves to be able to go to McDonald's, to be able to put on Netflix. They've never had to pay for anything in terms of blood, sweat, tears, and effort and risk to have that freedom to do that. But what that's allowed, but what that's also created is not only a vacuum of appreciation for the sacrifice of these men and women that fought for freedom, but it also allows the powers that be to recalibrate the definition of what freedom is. So what that means is, in a practical sense, is, you know, freedom really is, like I said, to have your thoughts and have them and be able to voice them safely in the public square, uncensored, free speech, protesting if you want, peacefully, and to be able to live in peace with your family. That's freedom. But what if in these generations, they actually distract us away from understanding that depth to a place where we think freedom is just going 15 minutes down the road to McDonald's and 15 minutes to the movies and 15, you know where I'm going, the 15-minute city thing. How can that even be a consideration in so-called free and open societies like New Zealand and Canada and England? It's because people have lost their understanding of what it is that they were given. They don't appreciate it and value it as they should. And at the end of the day, they become spineless and moralless. And that's a big problem. So that's really my synopsis of it there, Barry. I really think that's a big problem. And I think parents, that's why we homeschool our children that I have here. We homeschool them. They know about all of the stuff. They're Christian children. I baptized my daughter almost 2 years ago, and so they're learning about all these things because I'm a former New Zealand soldier. Fortunately, I didn't get to go to war, but they certainly know about these things and appreciate them. But unfortunately, not enough do.
Billy, thanks for coming in and sharing your thoughts. I love having you on, brother. I know you're real to the core. And we need more people like you in the world. Thanks for what you're doing. Benny, we got about 2 minutes left here right now. I'm going to let you share a few thoughts. And I want to thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. You're two of my favorite people to talk to. And this video and this program rolls out for you, Billy, and more popularity comes to what you've done here with River of Lies. I'll make sure that I share it far and wide. And thank I'll have you, guys back. Hopefully in the near future, we'll get you back in. Vinny, you got the talking stick.
All right. Well, I think the topic on my mind at the moment is narcissistic abuse. And this is kind of happening on a broad brush scale. And how you know that you're a victim of narcissistic abuse is you're kind of a bit depressed and you're sort of a bit paranoid. And you're worried about things all the time and you're traumatized and you don't get appreciated and you don't get listened to, and the person that's doing this to you or the institution that's doing this to you appears to think that you're the one doing this to them, all right? And so you start to get a little bit crazy. That kind of nuts sort of sensation that happens when you're being abused by somebody who's mentally ill. And that is happening across society in a very, very real way. That's the reason why people are so unstable right now, is because they are damaged, and they've been damaged very, very deliberately by the powers that be, as Billy says. And this means that the abused person is far less capable of standing up for themselves, far less capable of organizing themselves with others, because they withdraw from society. They ostracize themselves. They lose their motivation to do the things that they love and are very, very good at. This is why narcissistic abuse has become exploded as a topic on YouTube and things of that nature, because so many people are suffering from it. Now, what's problematic about this is that if you've got a relationship with a narcissistic person who's abusing you, you can end that relationship and you can cut off all contact with them. Can you do that with a ruthless worldwide authoritarian government? No, you can't. So we have to be basically psychological monster slayers in our own minds, vampire hunters, if you will, shedding the light on the scenario to burn up that demon that accosts you, not invite it in, and things of that nature. These things, these protection mechanisms, which people in the ancient world very much new on a daily basis, were very important to practice. And so now it is up to all of us to recognize the threat and the abuse we suffer and to walk away from it and not engage in it as to whatever extent possible. And I'd like to give that piece of advice and wisdom to people, that it's not your fault. You don't deserve it. It wasn't your idea. They just had a hold on you. And now that you know, you can walk away safely.
Thanks for your thoughts, Vinny. Always, always, always appreciate your input. That's the show for the week, gentlemen. I'm going to let you go, but thanks again for coming in. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, Barry. Thank you. Love you so much, man.
We'll see you again sometime.
Cheers, Barry. All right, everybody, that's it for the Vinnie Eastwood Show today. I would like to encourage everybody to go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. Check out our wonderful sponsors, holdenhealthcare.com, reopen.nz. You can become a Patreon of my band, Vinnie and the Vendettas, that would do the intro and outro songs for the... what would you call it? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. And this is, of course, 100% listener-supported, folks. So please go to the website, start up a monthly or weekly gift through that PayPal, or set up an automatic payment through your KiwiBank if you are a New Zealand listener. I've been doing this since 2008. That means that out of all the people who have ever started a YouTube channel or ever started to do anything to benefit the human race in New Zealand, I was the first, okay? And I'm still here. A lot of people have come since and then disappeared afterwards because they can't do the job. This is not an easy thing to do, to talk to people about their enslavement, which they don't want to hear about, and encourage them to do something about it, which they don't want to do. Why did I pick such a career? Because I got traumatized by the state and traumatized by the private corporations that I used to work for. Okay? So traumatized, in fact, that the idea of getting a job with a corporation or the state gives me a panic attack. I literally can't physically do it. But what I can do is teach you how to do what I can do. So this is a special offer for Vinnie Eastwood Show listeners. If you want to go to the contact page of thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and send me the message, get started. Why is this important? Because most of you who watch shows like this are like what I used to be when I was watching shows. You were itching to do it yourself, but you don't have the technology or the encouragement or whatever it is. You haven't started yet. And I would encourage you to get started. So if you are keen to learn how to do everything and start your own Truth Media platform from home, websites, social media, passive revenue, live streaming, video and radio. Look, nerds and professionals have made all this sound way too complicated so that you will pay them huge amounts of money to do it for you and never learn how quick and easy it is to do for yourself. So if you're done being a passive observer or even an active observer and you want to start creating for yourself and don't want no jargon or BS associated with it, then send old Vinnie Eastwood a message in capital letters, get started, on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com contact page, and we will sort you out and get you started so that you can do those things that you admire all those people like me doing. It's not that hard. It's not that mystical. It's actually reasonably easy, but if you're learning it for yourself, by yourself, for the first time, it is much, much more difficult than it needs to be. You need somebody with experience who knows how to show you these things quickly and simply so that you can understand exactly how quick and simple they really are. So I want to thank all the people who have been supporting the show for many years, and I desperately want to encourage people to get their own thing started and ask me for my help to get you doing that. So go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and click on that contact page and send me the message, get started. Now, with that being said, I am conscious right now that I've been live a number of times today, twice at least, and I'm so grateful for all of you people watching and all of you people commenting. We've got Nagushka and Debbie Lacey and DK and WCB 99 on the Twitch there, and we've got Savage, Stephen Lestrom, and Sigyar, and Beach Baby, and Shelley the Kiwi, and all these wonderful people on the YouTube, and there have over 30 people watching on the Facebook as well, including Adele, and Duncan, and Tequila, and Joel, and Justice, and Lee. Guys, thank you so much, all of you, very, very much for listening and watching the Vinny Eastwood Show. And if you guys want to talk, okay, if you're a donor and you want to talk, if you're having a hard time, when you donate to the Vinny Eastwood Show, it should take you to the donors page immediately afterwards, and that has my phone number, my email, and everything. Look, guys, I know that life is hard, especially if you know the truth about things, or even starting on that route is very, very difficult too. So I do want you, and indeed need you, to call me. Okay, just to talk. You don't even have to have a point for the call. You may not even be wanting to accomplish something. If you've already made a donation to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, you have that right. That's part of the deal. If you donate to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, I would like to have a personal, private conversation with you, who you are, what it is you do, have a few laughs, talk about some of the things that are really hard for you, because ultimately, and I've noticed this much more recently than usually, is it's very, very difficult to find people who actually want to listen to the things you're going through, and it's even harder to find people who understand what you're going through and want to help. So I do need to and want to be there for all of you guys. If you want to reach out and ask for help, ask for a sympathetic ear, I am here, but you are the one who has to pick up the phone and make that call, okay? It's your personal responsibility to try and find your way through this. Nobody's going to find this way through it for you. You have to ask for help. You have to ask people that you respect. You have to ask people that appear knowledgeable, and you have to ask people who have empathy, who are willing to listen. Otherwise, you'll stop asking for help altogether because you'll think that it isn't there. And the reality is, help is here in the form of the Vinny Eastwood Show. Thank you so much, very much, all of you, for supporting me, for listening to the show. Thank you so much for sharing, subscribing, leaving a comment, and liking these broadcasts. They help immensely to get it out there to a wider listening audience, particularly after getting so ruthlessly deplatformed during the COVID era. E-R-R-O-R. Right, well, that being said, thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites. The Vinny Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinny's jokes.